It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Ferrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. Bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out, a bad city, bird, a bad habit with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad attitude, bad day, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Ferrell Appalachia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny loves to smoke that platinum Kushmints before she goes to bed in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dress in plastic bags to break the traffic. Some kind of fashion shake it up. Should do all my friends that come around fast and fun party. Yo. Rats on the west side. Bed bugs uptown. What a mess this town's dead. My brain splattered all over Manhattan. Should do be sure I got. Hey, what's happening? I'm Ferrell. Mafia's running it. And we got a 14-10 Ravens game going here on the Monday Nighter from Vegas. And it was 14-0, I'll tell you that much. The Ravens were up, and then somehow Derek Carr unanswered 10 points. They got a drive right at the end of the half after they stopped the Ravens on 4th-and-1. K.J. Wright made a big tackle. They got the ball back. They moved down the field. They got a field goal before time expired, and it was 14-10. So they are early in the third. Now, the thing I wanted to mention is I'm watching the actual Eli and Peyton broadcast, the Monday night megacast with the brothers, right? And I got to tell you, it is way better than the actual game itself with Greasy, Riddick, Levy. I'm friends with those guys. I know them. I'm not saying anything bad about anybody here. I'm just telling you, the other broadcast is actually, it's informative, it's educational, it's funny. They mess with each other endlessly. I mean, I think Eli's got way more of a sense of humor than I ever saw when I knew him or interviewed him. I thought he was the dullest guy I ever met. But he's pretty good on this show messing with his brother. I got to tell you, he just... So, like, he wore this helmet, this Ravens helmet, and he had it on for a while, Peyton. And then when he took it off, he kept scratching his forehead. And then later, his dad, Archie Manning, texted in just recently in the last 5 seconds or whatever, texted and said, tell Peyton to quit scratching his head. And then Eli said, what do you got, dandruff? He goes, what do you got a little dandruff going there, Peyton? And it was funny. And they had Ray Lewis on before for a while. In the second quarter, Ray Lewis was a guest, and they were messing with him. He was messing with them. I mean, it was fun, like way more fun than the actual broadcast itself. And I have said repeatedly over the years that, and certainly on this show as well, that they've been trying since Dandy Don and Meredith and Cosell to get that booth right on Monday Night Football. They have been trying for 40 years to get that booth right, and they have never been able to do it. They have never been able to equal what they had, and they have chased that dragon ever since, and to no avail. So I turned the channel tonight, right? I'm like, you know what? I want to check out that Eli and Peyton thing. And I turned it on, and I mean, I was completely enthralled with it and entertained with it. And that's surprising to me because I think Eli's a boring dude. At least he was when he was the Giants quarterback. We welcome our radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090, Sports Map Sports, Byline USA, and Armed Forces Radio. Hoorah, soldier. It's Pharrell and Events on a Monday night. We're watching the Ravens and Raiders from Vegas at Allegiant. And look, I'm just saying that when Eli was the quarterback of the Giants, he was like Jeter, all business, never gave the media anything. He was vanilla. He was plaid. He was boring. He just answered questions barely. He never revealed anything. He never said what was going on. He just didn't give you, he didn't even give you 50 cents on the dollar. So anyway, I turn this thing on tonight, and he's completely different than the guy I know. And he's actually got no rules. And he's funny. At one point, an alarm went off in his house, like a fire alarm, like something in the kitchen they were cooking set off the fire alarm, and it was going off for 5 minutes. And he just had the funniest look on his face, like, what do you want me to do? I'm not going to get up and do anything about it. I'm in the middle of this broadcast. Somebody else take care of the fire alarm. And it was funny. And they razz each other till no end. I mean, it's just like that commercial when they torture each other and give each other, you know, wet willies and flicks of the earlobe. So I like this broadcast way better. It's Pharrell and Events.
There's listening to Sports Grid, then there's listening to Sports Grid. You know you're doing it right when friends ask you about the week's matchups. The wife is happy, and your teenager regards you with quiet awe.
Here's your slippers, Dad.
Keep listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
They ended up, literally, it was like 3rd and 15 from the 2-yard line. So they got pushed all the way back to their goal line. And then they handed off, went nowhere. Then they punted. Guy kicks the ball, Cole, at least 60 yards, maybe 70. And the guy catches the ball for the Ravens. And he runs back. I mean, he must have ran back to 35, 40 yards. Like, I just don't understand this football team at all. Do not be confused by the score, which is 14-10 Ravens, because I have never seen anything like it. Like, the amount of big plays that the Raiders give up is just endless. I mean, it is absolutely annoying. If you're a Raider fan, you're watching this team, and they give up these giant chunk plays, like 20, 30, 40 yard plays, and just constantly. So I'm sitting there watching the game tonight, and I'm like, man, do they suck? They really do. And what's amazing to me is that they pay Gruden $10 million a year, right? $100 million, 10 year deal. And they have never, literally ever gotten better. I know everyone will tell you, all these Raider fans will tell you, they're Raider broadcasters, the Raider this, Raider that. The Raiders are always on television, national TV. They get games all the time. And meanwhile, they always suck. I mean, how many 30-yard plays can I see them give up tonight? Before I'm like, because in the first half, I was like, oh my God, the amount of big plays that Jackson's pulling off. And big passes and everything else. Brown, the touchdown pass that he threw to Brown, he just kept rolling out, rolling out, rolling out. Finally gets him in the corner of the end zone. Boom, touchdown. It's so easy. It just seems so easy to me for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens to do whatever they want. They just ran that kickback 30, 40 yards. Now they're at the 38-yard line of the Raiders. Meanwhile, the guy caught the ball at his own 30 when he retrieved the punt. He caught it at his own 30 and goes all the way down to their 38. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. They have terrible special teams, terrible defense. They give up big plays time and time again. I'm not imagining this. I'm like, I'm watching a game you're watching. They constantly give up big plays. I mean, constantly. Another one, Tyson Williams on fourth and one from like the 30. He gets the ball up the middle and he runs 30 yards for a touchdown on a fourth and one. Here's another big play by Lamar Jackson. He ran 12, 15 yards for the first down. I mean, it's one big play after the next. Mafia, you're watching this game. Are you kidding me? How many big plays do they allow?
They've allowed a ton of them, and they can't get any of them on their own. They're all times he keeps targeting Waller, and they're double covering him, and he just keeps missing him with a few times he is open. He's throwing, overthrowing him. It's one thing if you love the big plays, if you can respond to them, but they're not doing anything to respond.
God, I just think they're terrible. And that's the point I'm trying to make, is that they pay this guy all this money, that he's some genius coach, some great coach, and I know he won a Super Bowl. That's great, you know, 20 years ago. So, in my opinion, since he's been back, they've done nothing. Since he took over the Raiders this time and came back, I've never seen any improvement. Improvement in what? I keep hearing how every year I hear the same thing over and over, that Derek Carr is some great quarterback. I mean, he just isn't. That's just all there is to it. He's not great at all. He's, you know, in my view, he's good at best. Fair to Midland. I think he's a good quarterback. He's definitely not a great quarterback. I've heard all that I can take. Now they have, the Mannings have Travis Kelce on the broadcast now. You know, from his crib. And I just think this is fantastic. You got these two Super Bowl champion brother quarterbacks, and then they bring in guests. I mean, I've already seen Ray Lewis, now Travis Kelce. I'm telling you, I said this when they got the job. I said it on Coast to Coast and on the Bench, that they're going to show up the actual game broadcast on ABC or ESPN of, as I mentioned, Levy, Riddick, and Greasy. They're going to show them up. They're just going to be better. The broadcast, the mega cast with the Mannings, Peyton and Eli, that's what they call it, Monday Night Football on ESPN, Peyton and Eli. That is better. This is the opening night of Monday Night Football, right? And I've been watching. I had the game on originally with those three announcers calling the game. And I was sitting there just picking my nose in boredom. And then I turned this on. I went, you know what? I forgot about that mega cast. I got to check it out. So I turn the channel and I turn on the Mannings. And ever since I've turned it on, I never turned it off. And it's funny. It's cool. They got good guests. They razz everybody. And they just go at it with everybody. And they go at it with each other. And it's just, you know, when they're actually calling a game, the original three-man booth, they're just calling the game. And then the analysts chime in with their thoughts on a play or a series or a touchdown or a fumble or a interception or whatever, or a play call. They just, you know, they analyze everything. They analyze every play. And it's just boring. And that's just all there is to it. And when I'm watching this broadcast, it's actually funny and entertaining. Don't even tell me that it's not better. It is better. It's better than the three-man booth, as sure as I'm sitting here. I have watched, ever since I turned it on, I never turned it off, and I'm still sitting here watching it. And I even told you, I'm not a fan of Eli Manning as a personality, or he was as dull as sand. And all I know is that on this broadcast tonight, I saw a side of him I've never seen before. I think it's pretty good. I think it's way better, in fact, than the broadcast. And I guarantee you the reaction from this tonight, you're going to see tomorrow, the reaction will be better than the actual guys calling the game. I mean, if I'm them, if I was sitting there being Levy, Riddick, and Greasy, I'd be like, what is going on here with you guys putting on these Manning brothers showing us up? Because that's what they're doing. They're showing them up. They're better. It is better. This is the broadcast that they should have going on the Monday Night Football games. They should just have Eli and Peyton Manning calling the games, because they are so much better than the three-man booth that it is not even comparable. It's not, you can't even mention it. That's how bad it is. It's so obvious that they're more entertaining and laughing and having a good time. And the players that they get on, whether it's legends like Ray Lewis or Travis Kelce, they're all having a blast. And when you listen to Levy and these other guys, it's like going to a funeral. I mean, it really is. It's just the absolute worst. No offense to them, but compared to the Mannings, they're getting their ass beat. Through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
Raiders with the ball. They got a call, a pass interference call on Young for the Ravens. And so now they're in business. They're at about the 38-yard line of the Ravens. It's 17-10. So after they had that punt and ran it back 30 yards, they got down to the 38, whatever. It eventually fizzled out, and they got a field goal out of it. So they're up 7 on the Raiders, 6:20 left in the third, and a timeout for whatever reason. Injured player on the field for the Ravens. Boy, they've had their fair share of injuries, I'll tell you that much. I mean, last week, whatever it was, two guys, you know, blow out their Edwards and Peters blow out their ACLs in practice. I mean, they've had the worst luck with injuries, the Ravens, of any team so far in the season. That's for sure. But, you know, it's amazing. Like I said before, Tyson Williams ran one in on 4th and 1 from whatever, 30 yards out for the touchdown, made it 7-0. So they got no backfield, but they still have a 4th and 1, 30-yard rushing touchdown from the kid Williams, his first score in the NFL. So do they have problems or, you know, do they not? They have Latavius Murray, but they got Williams running 4th down carries into the end zone from 30 yards out untouched for a opening touchdown in this game tonight. So at the end of the day, their depth or even their decision-making that they've implemented in who to play, who to sign, who to, you know, start, who to back up, you know, who's in what burn role, you know, either way, it's working. They're winning and they're up and they lead. And everybody thought that they would, with all their problems, that they would suck. And it's just the furthest thing from the truth. They look totally normal to me, like they always do. They're a good football team. Lamar Jackson's a problem, and he always will be. And he's barely throwing it, but when I've seen him throw it tonight, I've seen him hit strikes. I saw him throw the touchdown pass to Brown, Hollywood Brown. I saw him throw earlier to Brown. He's connected with his receivers, no problem. And he hasn't had to freak out and you know, overdo it, overthink it, overthrow it, nothing. He's just doing his thing. Like, I can tell you what his numbers are in terms of in this game tonight, because most people are like, oh, he can't throw the ball. You know, that's their problem. They can't beat anybody because Lamar Jackson can't throw the ball. He's 12 of 21 for 138 yards, 6.6 yard average, a touchdown, no sacks or no interceptions, one sack. There you go. And Tyson Williams has 63 yards and the touchdown and a 7.9 average. Lamar Jackson's ran it four times for 31 yards, a 7.8 average. His longest run, 18 yards. Williams' longest run was the 35-yard touchdown run. Brown has got the touchdown catch. Four catches, four targets, 52 yards, 13-yard average. Longest play, 29 yards. Sammy Watkins with a couple of catches, an 18.5-yard average, six targets. It goes on and on. Andrews, their tight end that they just re-signed. Four targets, three catches, 20 yards, 6.7 average, 10 yards as long as play. So they've been getting it done. They've had their fair share of, like, turnovers. Jackson fumbled it once, recovered it. Duvernay fumbled it, recovered it on a punt. So it is what it is. As far as the Raiders go, Carr, 18 of 32 to 168 yards, a 5.3 average, which is kind of lame. No TDs, no picks, two sacks, a 70.8 rating. And here they go on a 4th-and-1 with 3.5 minutes left from the 11. If they don't get this, which they're, oh, God, he didn't get it. Baltimore's ball. He didn't get it. I mean, what are you doing? Get the points. You're up against a great defense, and this is the point I'm making. Gruden goes for it, and they don't get it because they just have no running game. They really don't. I just thought that was a stupid play. Up the middle, and that's just great defense shutting that down. And then you blow it. You, after that entire drive and all of that work, you get nothing out of it. Why don't you just kick the field goal, get the points, and kick off? Instead, you used all that effort, all that time, and you got nothing to show for it. And it's a bad call, 4th-and-1 against a great defense. You're not going to get it. Sure enough, they stopped them. I just thought that was terrible. I really did. Just absolutely terrible. And I think that was Jacobs, too. Yeah, it was Jacobs. He got stopped. And they just activated him today to play in the game. He's done nothing in this game. 7 carries, make that 8. 7 carries, 20 yards. He does have a TD, I'll give him that, from short yardage. All I know is they throw to Waller 6 times, 14 targets of Waller. He's caught 6 and failed 8. Seen him drop passes, 72 yards, a 12-yard average. Carr's got no TDs in the air, I know that. He fumbled once, recovered it. So there you go. I thought it was a bad decision to go for it on 4th-down. I really do. I think they smelled a touchdown. They smelled, they're in the red zone. They're at the 11. They smelled, we get this 1st-down, we're going in. I would have kicked the field goal there based on the Ravens' reputation, their defense. They're always tough up front. They're always tough against the run. They're tough against the pass. I mean, when aren't the Ravens tough physically? You know, on defense, I think they are. I think it was a dumb decision. Once again, John Gruden, they pay him all this money, and I just don't see it. I don't see the results. I don't see him being better. They're the same Raiders to me that they've been since he's been there. They're the same look, same team, same failings. It's just constant, right? Now, they had a chance there to get it to 4 at 17-13. Instead, they give up the ball. They use the entire third quarter on the drive to move it down to the 11. Basically, the whole third quarter's gone. There's 3:22 left. they'll be lucky if they get the ball back in this quarter. And they had their chance to get points, and they left it there on fourth and one. They left it on the field. They didn't get anything. And I, you know, bottom line is, I think it's where they lose the game. And then Jackson just ran 20 yards for a first down. On first and 10, he runs it 20 yards with a fake handoff that the Raiders bid on completely. The entire defense went right to stop the run. Now, here they are talking about they're talking about this play. It was just a terrible play to Jacobs up the middle. Just terrible. Coming up in a few minutes, we got Jerry Palm of CBS to talk college football. So we'll get into that. We got a lot to talk about. Before I have him on, I might as well mention, at the very least, Mafia knows as my witness, documented. I had an incredible day on Saturday in college football. In top 25 bets, which is every game, I hit 73% of my bets. That was every game in the top 25, not like five games or six or eight. That's every game. 73% winners in my bets. And then in the unranked games, which was just tons of games, it was literally over 100 games, something like that. Well, 100 bets, right? So I have money lines and spreads. And I went 63% in unranked games. So 73% in top 25 games, 63% unranked games, as I once again rake money for people. All I do is make people money. That's it. I mean, who hits 73% of their bets in the biggest games in college football on Saturday? Me, that's who. Who do they trust? Me, that's who. Who do they want? Me, that's who. Who gives them the locks of the week? Uncle Futrelli, that's who. Do you know what a hussa is, Frank? Anyway, now the Ravens are just moving the ball at will on the Raiders' crappy defense. I mean, they just are. They're so average. It's not even funny. On a more pressing note, I am going to see the Raiders on Sunday play the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Going to the ketchup bottle to see Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers play Derek Carr and the Raiders. So I'll be mocking John Gruden at Heinz Field on Sunday, 1 o'clock. Looking forward to that. I'm going in there Saturday. I got to call my favorite restaurant tomorrow and make sure I get a table for Saturday night. You know, they'll squeeze me in. It's inevitable because this is Pharrell on a bench.
Every day, sports happens.
It never stops.
And neither do we. Get the expert perspectives you need, strategies and vital information you won't get anywhere else. You're listening to the home of the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on a bench. We got Jerry Palm, our good friend from CBS, on the mahogany waxing up again to talk college football. Hope you're well, Jerry. What did you think of the Oregon win in Columbus against the Buckeyes? I got to tell you, I thought it was very refreshing to see, at least, one of the mighty fall. Now, it's not the same for me because, when Georgia beat Clemson, that's a great game. Somebody's got to lose. But to see them lose Ohio State to Oregon, they've never beat them, and they went from, all the way out in Eugene into Columbus where they never lose. You talk about domination in a building, that horseshoe. I mean, when do they lose to anybody besides never? And to see them get – I mean, they got dominated in that football game. I thought it was great.
They did.
I thought it was great for college football.
Yeah, it was. And it was great, especially for the Pac-12, which hasn't had a team even threaten to make the playoffs since Washington made it in 2016. So, you know, it was a big boost for Oregon. It's a big boost for the Pac-12. You're right. They dominated that game. Ohio State still doesn't know where C.J. Verdell is. You know, he ran around the left end for touchdowns three times, basically untouched. Okay, so one time, sure, you're fooled. But, you know, what happened the other two times? You've seen this play or something like it before, and they can't find him. So it was a great, well-coached game by Oregon. I guess, you know, when the Ohio State drum major went flying out of the tunnel for pregame and face planted, maybe we should have known that was a bad omen. But Ohio State's got problems to fix on their defense, and they've got to get them fixed here pretty soon because there are some pretty good teams in the Big Ten that may make them pay for that again. And Minnesota gave them a good game until Ibrahim got hurt. So, Ohio State may not be done losing if they can't fix their defense.
I got to tell you, Stroud had every chance in the world to get him back in that game. They were down seven, but that was a huge mistake when he threw that ball over the receiver and he got picked off there, and that was lights out.
Yeah, he tends to throw high. His passes go from basically the numbers up. Their receivers have to reach up to catch a lot of balls. And he makes his mistakes high. And, that'll come with experience. He'll get better, you would think. But he's for now, he tends to throw it up a little bit. And that one cost him.
Well, now you do all the bowl projections all the time, like every week. And you do the playoff scenarios after every week and who's alive and who isn't, whatever, right? So how much of Ohio State's loss now, I mean, obviously they can't afford another loss.
No, right. So Clemson and Ohio State are basically in the same boat. They can go 12-1 and win their leagues, but they're going to need help to make the playoffs because the four teams at the top right now, Alabama, Oklahoma, Georgia, and Oregon, are all going to be favored the rest of the way, at least until Alabama and Georgia would play each other in an SEC title game. If that happens, if they win all those games, then those are your four playoff teams, and Clemson and Ohio State can't do anything about it. So they're going to need help, but they got to win their own games first. They got to fix the problems that each team has. For Ohio State, it's defense, and for Clemson, it's offense, and especially being able to run the ball. But, you know, Clemson's in the ACC, so they don't have a real strong challenger in that league, but there's some pretty good teams in the Big Ten that can make Ohio State pay if they don't get their problems fixed.
So, you talk about the Pac-12. It was big for the Pac-12. And even, getting the attention that they got over the weekend with that win. And then, you see, I had Stanford in 17 against USC, and they kicked their ass. And then they fired Helton today. So, a big win for Stanford on Saturday night. Everybody was talking about it Sunday that they throttled them. And then today, in the middle of my TV show, they fired Helton at USC. Were you surprised at all of that? Stanford winning and then them waiting until Monday afternoon to fire Helton?
I guess I was surprised that Stanford beat them because they looked pretty bad against Kansas State. Right. That was another game that started with a bad omen, right? That the kicker gets ejected for targeting on the first play of the game. And I don't know if that affected USC or not, but that's definitely a weird play, but they just got their butts kicked. And, you know, Clay Helton, he's had a hot seat under him since probably 2018 at least. So to see him get fired now, I mean, a lot of people were talking about how he pretty much had to go, whether he went now or if he went at the end of the year, he was going to need to go. They just weren't. They weren't what they should be at USC, and USC should be an elite program and should be the elite program in the Pac-12, and it's been a while since that's happened. So I'm not surprised he got fired. And then, obviously the most obvious candidate now to replace him, I think, is Luke Fickell at Cincinnati, who was hired for that job by the current USC athletic director, who came over from Cincinnati, Mike Bone. So, there'll be other – you know, quality names, I'm sure, attached to that job, but a very desirable job. So we'll see what happens with that. But I think Luke Fickell is an obvious choice.
Well, I mean, to me, it's amazing that, like, let's face facts. Okay, fair enough, he got fired, and they got embarrassed at home by Stanford. But, you know, I got to tell you, I took Stanford in the points. I always think Pac-12 games and matchups like Stanford, USC, whatever, et cetera, are always better than 17-point spreads. I just think the games are better, and that's why I took Stanford. I thought that it would be a decent game under, you know, for me, I thought it'd be under 10 or 11 points, not 17. So then I guess my question is that Helton, when he was there at USC, you can't even argue with the fact that he won when he was there. I mean, the guy went 45-24 since 2015. They won a Pac-10 or a Pac-12 title. They played in the Pac-12 title game last year. They lost by a touchdown. He went to 5 bowl games. I mean, I guess I get it that they only want to win national championships there, but they just don't win national championships anymore. Is that why they fired him? Because the guy won when he was there.
Well, he didn't win enough. He didn't win to the level that USC should expect. And especially when you consider the very fertile recruiting location that they're in. They should be able to get talented players out of California and build up that program should be a dynasty. And it was at one point. It hasn't been for – when was the last national championship they won? It's – gosh. They were in the championship game, lost to Texas in, you know, that Vince Young game. That was a legendary game, but they lost that one. You know, it's been a while since they've been, you know, nationally relevant consistently. They've had a year or two here or there. But USC should be one of those teams that we talk about every year. And nobody gets talked about in the Pac-12, but, you know, anymore, it's Oregon or maybe Washington, but it's not USC. And that's the level that they expect at Southern California, and they should. But it hasn't come about, and Clay Helton was good, but not good enough.
So I like your idea of Luke Fickell. How would that work when he's in the middle of Cincinnati, ranked 7th in the country? They're playing in Bloomington this week against Indiana. Kelly's got an interesting team. I don't think they're that great. I think they're overrated by people. National media has overrated Indiana.
Which team?
Because of the COVID season.
Indiana?
Huh? I meant Tom Allen. Indiana? I'm talking about Indiana. I think they're overrated.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I thought that Indiana would take a step back this year just because I think they could be as talented as they were a year ago, but the schedule's harder this year. You know, Michael Penix comes back, so you'd think that would be good. They got dismantled at Iowa, who's playing very well to start the season. And I'm not surprised that Indiana's looks like they're taking a step back a little bit. They're not terrible, but I would be surprised to see them end up in the top 25, which is where they started the season. For Cincinnati, though, I mean, look, they're not going to hire Luke Fickell during the season. That job's not going to get filled on a permanent basis until after the season when coaches are available. They'll have conversations. But Luke Fickell, he's got a unique situation at Cincinnati this season in the sense that he could make a case to get into the playoffs with that team. You know, it's rare that we see a Group of Five team that's got the talent and the schedule to get in. But with road games at Indiana and Notre Dame back-to-back on their schedule, but a week apart, a bye week in between, you know, if they go 13-0 with those two wins and those two teams don't otherwise really disappoint, Cincinnati's going to get a discussion for the college football playoff.
Right. But do you think that because Dante Williams is going to coach USC the rest of the season, and then I could see Fickell getting that job in 5 seconds. But do you think that Fickell and Cincinnati win in Bloomington Saturday, or do you think Allen can get them so jacked up for that game that they could pull the upset? Because to me, Indiana beating Cincinnati is an upset.
Yeah, they're probably touchdown underdog, I would think. Indiana.
They are.
At home this weekend.
They are.
Cincinnati, well, yes, Indiana can win, sure. But I like Cincinnati in this game. This is one of those games that Cincinnati's had circled from the minute they saw the schedule. You know, in Indiana, after coming off the year they had last year, Cincinnati's going to be primed for this game. And then they get a week off before they have to play at Notre Dame. I like Cincinnati in this game. We're going to see the best of Cincinnati this week.
Well, it opened as a 4-point Cincinnati favored by 4, and we'll see how it moves throughout the week or whatever. I just want to get your reaction to some of the other games. You know, Auburn has scored a ton of points. They're playing at Happy Valley this week. That should be a really good game with Auburn and Penn State.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's a whiteout, I think, for Penn State this year because they don't get Ohio State at home. So that's the whiteout game. Auburn going to a pretty far field for them. They haven't been this far away from home since they played at Kansas State. They don't go this far north hardly ever. They played at USC about 20 years ago. So not very often outside the Southeast footprint. And this is going to be an environment that, you know, look, they play at Alabama every other year. So, you know, this isn't going to be overwhelming in terms of intimidation for them, but it'll certainly be different for Auburn. And Penn State is playing very well. So I like the Knits to win this game. It'll probably be competitive, but I don't think Auburn's going to score a lot of points. I mean, they have been, but they haven't played anybody. They're going to be playing somebody this week, and they're not going to light up the scoreboard up there.
Let me ask you this question, Jerry. I got 15 seconds. Do you have to go to bed or anything? Can you come back on at the top of the hour? Because I got to do a break and everything. Yeah. Can you come back on? Because I'm not done talking college football with you.
Yep, that's fine.
All right. We'll call you right back at the top of the hour. We'll keep talking college football. The Raiders just scored. They're down one. That's the problem with people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
All right, for all on the bench, I was a little surprised today when Adam Kaplan told me after what we saw Arizona do to Tennessee on Sunday in Smashville, he has the Titans going to Seattle and winning outright against Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. I see Russell Wilson's on with Eli and Peyton right now on the Monday night broadcast. It's 17-all after Jacobs scored for the Raiders. There's 8.5 minutes left. The Ravens have the ball. It's going to be 3rd and 3 at around the 32, their own 32. And, I mean, obviously, Lamar Jackson has the ball, tie game, 8 minutes left. We'll see if he can move it down the field and win the game. All they need is a field goal to win the game. The Raiders have to stop the Ravens. That's all there is to it if they want a chance to win this game. Because right now, the ball's in the hands of the most dangerous player on the field in this game, and that's Lamar Jackson. You can't tell me he's not more dangerous than Derek Carr. I will give him credit, though. First down, Ravens. You knew they'd get the first down. I just feel like every time they have a short yardage situation, and Hollywood Brown just got the first down there on a reverse. But all I know is whenever they need a big play, I've seen the Raiders make one stop in this game, the K.J. Wright fourth down stop. That was when they made a play on a short yardage. Every other time, the Ravens get the first down. So under 7.5 left, 17 apiece. Vegas is rocking. Allegiant is crazy in a tie game on the Monday Nighter. When we come back, we'll talk more with Jerry Bone.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.